Get ready for takeoff. This is a First Class Podcast. All things Winnipeg Jets hockey. The flight starts now. Welcome to the First Class Podcast, Winnipeg Jets playoff preview. Just the way that rolls off my tongue. Warren, I know me and you, when we started at the beginning of the year, both thought that we would be at the point where we could do a playoff preview for the Winnipeg Jets in the First Class Podcast. I don't think we realized that the team was going to be competing for the President's Trophy, although you did say you thought they were going to be first in the Central very early on. I wish I could pull back that podcast and be like, hey, listen to
it. Just throw a little clip in of it.
Yeah. The Jets finish second to the Nashville Predators. And this is worth noting. I know we're going to talk a lot, and specifically we should really, in fairness, focus on the Minnesota versus Winnipeg, because that's the first round matchup. But worth noting is that the Jets finished second in the Western Conference, 3 points behind the Nashville Predators at the end of the day, and ahead of Las Vegas, who finished third in points. My understanding of that is if they did get to the conference finals, they would have home ice for every series except in the event we play Nashville.
Yes. And even in the Stanley Cup Finals, if the Jets are to get that far, they would be up on Tampa and Boston as well. They'd have home ice against them as well. But first things first, we got to take care of the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah. Yeah, before anything's said and done. And you know what? This Jets team talks about game by game. And so while we can talk about the other matchups in the playoffs, the one that the Winnipeg Jets are focused on is the Minnesota Wild. And that's what's important for this team. Getting that first playoff win under their belt is important, and going from there. The Jets start at home, and we can confirm while we're going through this, as I'm sure all of you will be aware when we get this up for you as we are doing this, that the National Hockey League did release two scenarios based on this Florida-Boston outcome. So there's one if Tampa wins the Atlantic and one if Boston wins the Atlantic. The first four games of the series are not affected by either of those scenarios. So we can confirm that 6 p.m. Central on Wednesday, April 11th is game one. At 6:30 on Friday is game two, both played in Winnipeg, as Winnipeg has home ice advantage. So game one, Wednesday, game two, Friday in Winnipeg. Game three will be Sunday, 6 Central in Minnesota, and game four will be Tuesday in Minnesota, and then the rest of the series follows out after that. If necessary, they would be back in Winnipeg on the 20th, Friday, and then back in Minnesota on Sunday, and then game seven would be potentially a Wednesday in Winnipeg. So two in Winnipeg, two in Minnesota, and then 1-1-1 is how the NHL works out for all their playoff series. There is a difference. Is that Major League Baseball that does the 2-3-2? Is that the NBA?
It's the NBA.
The NBA. I do like the NHL format of the 2-2-1-1-1.
Yeah, I hate 2-3-2. Yeah. 2-3-2 is terrible. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. It's almost like giving home field, home ice, home court, whatever you want to call it, to the team that is lower. Like, yeah. Right, you get three straight games at home. What if you split? And this happens.
Yeah,
you split and you win one, you lose one, and now you get to go home for three straight. Now that team that fought hard to get higher up the standing has to play three on the road in a row. Doesn't make a lot of sense. So hockey's doing it right.
I'm glad you clarified that. I couldn't remember which sport it was. And of course, I watch the least amount of basketball as anything. I know there's a Canadian team in the NBA.
You know it's the fucking Toronto. I've brought them up before. Everybody knows this.
I also know there's only one team in the NBA now. There were two at one point.
For that, I'm going to text you every time the Raptors score a fucking basket. Jim, do you see that?
I know how you can go on and watch sports highlights and not know about the Toronto Raptors. They're doing all right. We know we're taking on the Minnesota Wild. The Jets. And you know what? I also want to say that I'm not a big fan of giving two shits about the season series going into, like, in a head-to-head. We'll go through it. I mean, the Jets were 3-1 against the Minnesota Wild this year. And we also know that the bulk of those games were played well in advance, meaning the last time that the Minnesota Wild and Winnipeg Jets played was back in January. That's when the fourth game of this four games they played against
each other. I think the season series can matter to a degree, but you can't put too much weight in that because there's always a lot of factors. Who was healthy during these games? Was it on a back-to-back? You know, who was in net? Were you clicking on all cylinders at this point in the season? Like, so when it comes to playoffs time, that's a whole different ballgame. You know, are you healthy? Do you have all your big guns ready to go? And I think right now for the Winnipeg Jets, fortunately at the moment, not good outside of somebody, you know, tripping in a morning skate or something stupid happening, we're looking like we're going to throw at them our best roster possible. You know, we heard good news recently about Jacob Trouba after leaving practice, and people are a little concerned about that. It sounds like he's going to be good to go for game one. It's up in the air right now as far as Toby Enstrom. But beyond that, it looks like everybody, all cylinders are firing for the Jets, whereas Minnesota Wild are missing some very important pieces we touched on before with Ryan Suter and who was the other defenseman they're missing that's really good?
Spurgeon.
Spurgeon, another solid.
Now, Spurgeon's, they're saying probable for game one.
Okay, there you go.
The Minnesota Wild have been interesting about this. I don't know, do you want to talk about Minnesota first, or do you want to talk about Winnipeg first?
Let's leave the best for last. Let's talk about Mini first.
Okay, let's talk about the competitor. By the way, in October, at home, the Jets won 4-3. And then the last game in October, they played in Minnesota and won 2-1. That was the one where they had a goal called back on a challenge that they should have won, but they didn't win, and they ended up in a 2-1 game. And then they pounded them in November at home, 7-2. Absolutely lit up the Minnesota Wild. And then, as you were talking about putting things into context, they had, right before the Christmas break, the last of a three-game road trip. Actually, the game before the mini game was the Glass. What's his name? The goaltender we just
Jeff Glass.
Jeff Glass. Blackhawks. Yeah, had that basically the 2-1 win that Chicago won. They went into mini right before the break and lost 4-1. And there were a number of guys down at that point. Shifley was definitely out of the lineup, and they just looked like they were gassed. We talk about the game in Chicago being a dud. I would say that the of the duds of the year, that Chicago loss in the last stretch here is one of them. The game in Minnesota where they lost 4-1 was the second one. December against the Islanders, they had that atrocious 5-2 loss where nobody showed up.
They had a horrible one against the Blue Jackets. I recall that one. Can't remember when that was.
Oh, you know what? Actually, the Minnesota one was before the player break. That was a player break in January because the Islanders was right before the Christmas break. My apologies. And then, the Detroit, Florida losses in December, and the start of the year. Other than that, those have been the blips, and they've been few and far between for the Winnipeg Jets this year. But starting the year 0-2, and everybody wanted to get fired. We should trade everybody. And then they had that, Detroit game and Florida game, but then responded in Tampa Bay. The interesting thing about it was that they had lit up Vegas and Ottawa at home before they went and played Detroit. So that was kind of a surprise that they threw a dud there. And then the Florida game, they just gave up too many goals. The Islanders game was kind of I expected it to be better. And then Minnesota. Since then, I haven't really hated anything they've done other than that game in Chicago. But given the circumstances,
I would lay money that the team we see show up on Wednesday night for the first game in Winnipeg, that's a different team. That's a focused team. That's a team that has a few extra days rest.
Yeah.
You have time to actually focus in on who you're playing against, on your matchups. And that's a great thing about starting off at home. You get to control the face-offs, right? You get to pick what line goes against which line. That's critical.
So the first time in the postseason that we will play the Minnesota Wild. In net, of course, Devin Dubnyk. Now, in a number of the games this year, Alex Stalock, their backup, was playing. And a lot of times that's because the Jets were the second game on a back-to-back. We should expect to see Devin Dubnyk in the playoffs for the Minnesota Wild. He is their starting goaltender. 35 wins this year, 16 losses, and then 7 overtime losses. Shootout overtime losses. 5 shutouts on the year. 252 goals against average, 918 save percentage, and 60 games, 59 of them where he started. That's who you would expect to see. However, if he falters, It would not be surprising to see Alex Stalock, as they did give him 23 starts and 28 games played. So he's played some games, and he ended up with a 10-10 and 4 record with one shutout, 285 goals against average, 910 save percentage. So those are the two netminders for the Minnesota Wild. Seem pretty stable in who's one and who's two on that.
Yeah, I think Devan Dubnyk is a huge X factor, obviously, for the Wild. Anytime your goaltender is extremely important, but I think even more so for a team that, although this year had a little bit, I guess played a little bit more free-flowing than we've seen in the past, where they've played more of a neutral zone trap type offense. Devan Dubnyk is everything to them. If he falters and they fall behind the eight ball, you know, Jets can score in bunches, and it can be over before a blink of an eye in the first period. So it's really important from a Minnesota Wild perspective that that the good Devan Dubnyk shows up, not the one that got pumped 7-1. There was stretches in the year, like you just mentioned. I mean, Stalock, that's a lot of starts for a backup goalie. I think that lends to there were stretches that he just wasn't himself, that he was kind of trying to find his game. And there's been other goalies, Brayton Holtby. Holtby earlier in the year said the same thing, that he's lacking confidence and that, you know, his team made the right decision by not starting him, basically, which is a pretty, you know, honest and straightforward thing to say. I think Devan Dubnyk would probably agree. He's had his numbers. I mean, those aren't bad numbers, but those are not the numbers that he's put up the last couple of years when he's been, you know, a Vezina candidate. He's going to be a huge one.
Speaking of Vezina candidates, we should talk about Connor Hellebuyck. And of course, he's going to get the starts for the Winnipeg Jets. And this is going to be his first shot at playoff hockey. But this season, of course, he put up the 44 wins, which is a new record, passing Tom Barrasso's 43-win record in a single season for American-born goaltender. Only 11 losses, and then the 9 overtime shootout losses. He had 6 shutouts, goals against at 2.36, save percentage of 924. And so Connor Hellebuyck is going to be the go-to guy. They did manage to get a game in for Steve Mason as a backup, as he came off of injury when the Jets had their final road trip in Montreal. So really, this is going to be Connor Hellebuyck's to take the Winnipeg Jets through this. And, you know, he doesn't have any experience, but the numbers this year suggest that he is ready for the challenge of playoff hockey. And, you know, he is kind of the other question mark. I hate to use the word question mark. He's just a guy that there's no playoff book on at the National Hockey League level. And so that creates some intrigue, definitely, between the pipes between these two teams, Winnipeg and Minnesota. I do believe that the Winnipeg Jets actually hold an advantage in the net-minding battle between Minnesota and Winnipeg for the reason that Connor Hellebuyck's numbers this year are Vezina-worthy, and he's in the conversation for that, and the numbers were so stellar that as long as he continues to play even at the level that he was during the regular season, he's going to prove to be the best option in net for either of these teams, and will be a big reason if the Jets do well against Minnesota and going forward. Well, let's talk about the defense now, too.
Yeah, let's go through the D.
I think the D is going to be another key to this series. Ryan Suter is injured, and that's a fractured fibula. He will not be in this series. Whoever wins, Ryan Suter won't be suiting up for the Minnesota Wild for the playoffs. Like, that's season-ending.
And Ryan Suter's their Dustin Byfuglien. I mean, Byfuglien, the importance that he is to their team. He's extremely physical, strong, big shot on the point, very important on the power play to them. Like, let's not kid ourselves. You know, I'm sure Minnesota Wild fans are thinking that right now. They're going, well, shit. Now we got to walk in and play against the Jets with all that firepower. We're missing our number one defenseman.
And he is the number one defenseman. So in the 78 games he played up until getting injured, 6 goals, 45 assists, 51 points. Not the key to this point. Time on ice. He averages 26 minutes and 46 seconds. Also worth noting is that averages 3 minutes, over 3 minutes a game in power play ice time. So he's kind of the glue to the back end on the first power play unit. And my understanding is that he was top 3 in minutes played, time on ice, in the National Hockey League this year, and definitely number 1 for the Minnesota Wild.
Matt Dumba, he's an interesting one for the Minnesota Wild on the back end. Matt Dumba always seems to bring his A-game against the Winnipeg Jets, and he's good at getting under people's skin, and he can lay a pretty big hit here and there. I'm sure he's going to get some extra minutes with Suter being out, so that's a guy to keep an eye on as a Jets fan.
Yeah, Matt Dumba, who will be healthy. 14 goals, 36 assists, 50 points, over 23 minutes average ice time, and minutes on the power play as well. So he's a guy, lots of blocks, likes to hit. Dumba's going to have to step up.
Well, those minutes right there that you just mentioned, 23 minutes, right around Suter's minutes, say that like he's taken on that load that since Suter has left and having a career year. So don't sleep on Dumba. He's a big one for a while to watch.
Now, Jarrett Spurgeon's the other one that's a big question mark because he's still listed as injured and hasn't played or returned to the lineup. There is, and I've been reading stuff specifically from the Tribune out of Minnesota now to get a Wild perspective on this. I read this week that they are expecting that he's going to be back. Now, he averages about 24 minutes, just over 24 minutes in time on ice. Again, put up 37 points in the 61 games he did play. But again, that was a hamstring that had him down. So one more guy that may be worth mentioning that they're hoping is going to be helping pick up the slack for the injured guys would be Jonas Brodin, because he's a puck-moving defenseman for them, and he's got about 21 minutes plus a game in ice time. So Brodin, who's a younger guy, maybe one of the guys that they're going to look to in lieu of, again, we would almost say that if Spurgeon doesn't come back, and we know that Suter is out, Dumba and Brodin are really going to have to step up for the Wild on the defensive end for this team. Also worth noting is that Gustav Olsson has been listed with a concussion, and he didn't play the final game that Minnesota had against Dallas. Not sure where he's sitting on the concussion board. He's only played about 41 games this year, and definitely more of a, what would we compare him to? Probably more like a Joe Morrow version on it. But still, talking about a consistent guy when your number one and two guys you can identify, and maybe only one of them comes back, that's just another guy that's also out. So they're getting spread pretty thin. That leaves on the defense Nate Prosser, and again, probably a 5-6 guy at best that may have to be in a top four role. Nick Seeler, and Nick Seeler, again, is a younger guy, and he's only played 22 games this season for them. And then you've got, should have mentioned probably before that, Ryan Murphy. But again, 21 being played. So they're spread thin on their defense.
Yeah, to me, you look at the Wild right now, even if they're healthy, it's a tough matchup. But I mean, like I said, Suter's just a piece that's very hard to replace for them. Spurgeon's a big question mark. If he comes back, that's a big deal for them. If he doesn't come back, that's a lot of weight for Matt Dumba to carry on his shoulders, kind of by himself, really. Those other guys got to be good. I mean, looking back on last year's Stanley Cup champions, the Pittsburgh Penguins, their D-core was never talked about. They went into the playoffs saying that was a point of weakness, so you can never get ahead of yourself. I mean, that being said, when you compare it to the Winnipeg Jets defense with, on the right side, you know, Dustin Byfuglien, Tyler Myers, and Jacob Trouba, I mean, those are three guys that are all offensively dynamic, big, strong guys that are like legit number ones on most teams. And then you have, you know, your Josh Morrissey, hopefully Enstrom and Sherratt. If you have to give the edge, it seems like a pretty big slam dunk that the Jets have a better D-core. Then you're looking up at the four lines and you're going, who's going to break our backs from the offensive perspective? I look at the Wild. The number one guy, very obvious, is Mikko Koivu. You know, he's been that guy. He's great on the dot. He's an offensively gifted player. Playoff experience, all that jazz. And then obviously you look at Zach Parise. Granlund's a good piece of the puzzle for them over there. Who else is it having a big year to stall with them? He's having an absolutely
comeback year. Yeah.
Good on the guy. So that's four.
That's where I would have started, by the way. No disrespect to Mikko Koivu, but Eric Stalin, 42 goals this year.
Yes, but I just think Mikko Koivu, he's really solid at shutting down the other opposition's best.
Okay, yeah.
So I think for them, he's really important. If he cannot shut down Mark Scheifele, you know, if he cannot shut down, if he's losing draws, if he's not good on the dot, and he's like, we have Stastny, we've never had Paul Stastny, you know, in the lineup going up against the Wild like this. Stastny has a lot of experience playing the Minnesota Wild. He cracked some jokes about that the other day, so he knows them well. He knows their tendencies. So you look up and down that lineup, and then you look over at the Jets lineup. I just think the Jets offensively have tons of game breakers, tons of X-factor guys, way more skill. And I feel like the only way this Wild team has a chance to win in 7 games and beat the Jets, that's what I think. The only way the Wild win is it goes 7. And I think that they have to have amazing special teams. Their power play has to be amazing. Their PK has to be amazing. They have to dominate it on the draw. And Devin Dubnyk has to be a Vezina-type goalie. Otherwise, to me, slam dunk. You don't want to say it because you almost don't want to jinx it, but I'm calling the Jets 5, and I wouldn't be surprised if they swept them. But I think they win both at home, the Jets, and I think there's a chance Mini wins 1 at home, Jets steal 1, and they win it at home. If I had to predict right now, that's how I look at the series going.
It's going to be a physical series, I think, with the Minnesota Wild. Worth noting to some of the other guys on the Wild up front that we haven't talked about. Jason Zucker usually always seems to play well against the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, kind of like Dumbo. Yeah, he has really good games against the Jets. He's got some wheels.
Daniel Winnick, Niederreiter's there, Foligno, and maybe Coyle and Colin. A couple other guys.
Yeah, they don't have a bad roster. It's a decent roster. It's pretty good.
What I think the difference on it, and I think you touched on it a bit, and we'll get more into, you know, the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets have that four line in place. And I think they even have, as that the guy sitting out, Jack Rozovec, can come in and be a game changer. And not necessarily in this series. Because the fourth line, which we've talked about with the Winnipeg Jets, the No Love line, Tanev, Kopp, and Lowry, have that physical presence to match up with this team. What Minnesota does not have right now is the speed that the Winnipeg Jets have. And that speed is going to be tantamount to how long this series lasts. Yeah, the Jets can match up physically, but the skill and the speed is what's really going to be a determinant on this. Which, when we talk about the third line with Joel Armia and talking about, and I think we talked about this a bit about whether if Rozel, in our First Class podcast, we think the only way Rozel comes in is if Armia, or I said Perreault, were to come out. And in a Minnesota Wild series, I think Armia and Perreault are harder on the puck, and Brian Little is great on the dot, and Minnesota will be good on the dot. So him being there is important. The fourth line currently looks great and is contributing going into the playoffs. So I think that's a really good thing. Then the second line, of course, Paul Statsy with all the experience against the Minnesota Wild and playoff experience with Line A and Ehlers. And again, Ehlers has speed. That's going to be huge. And in special teams, Patrick Line A is that X factor. And he's always going to be that X factor, having him in there. And think of the power play unit without him, the game he had to leave, and that first unit, it wasn't the first unit because it didn't have Patrick Laine out there. Then, of course, you've got Connor, Scheifele, and Wheeler. And again, there's still speed in there. Kyle Connor, only now I think people in the NHL are starting to realize the type of speed that Kyle Connor has.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that. Okay, let's talk speed. That top line, speed and size. Blake Wheeler, he's 6'5", and he absolutely flies. Mark Scheifele, compared to day one in the NHL to where he's at now, all that training with Gary Roberts and all the other guys, Adam Oates, etc., the level he's taken his game to, but the speed that he has now and the ability to, by themselves, take the puck from one zone, from the D zone to the offensive zone by themselves on a breakout. Then you throw in Kyle Connor, who's the fastest, I would think, of the three. I know Blake Wheeler's quick and Scheifele is quick, but I put my money on Kyle Connor in that foot race. So that's an incredibly fast line. That line's going to be very challenging. I imagine to start, they're going to get the whatever Minnesota deems their shutdown D. I imagine Matt Dumba will be on that pairing, and that'll be his job. Don't get me wrong. Very solid D. Very good on your 3-4 D. Is he ready to take on heavy minutes, starting a lot of the time in the defensive zone? Because every chance they get, Maurice is going to throw those guys out in the offensive zone and try to punish them, like try to stop us on the cycle. Good luck. Then you go to your second line. Okay, so let's just say you shut them down. Well, now you're going to shut down Stastny, Ehlers, and Line A. Ehlers, there's the speed. So let's say that entire first line is ridiculously fast. Stastny's not the swiftest of foot. Line's speed has been substantially better the last 20 games or so, and he's skating pretty quick. But he's not a blazer. But Nikolaj Ehlers, maybe the fastest guy in the NHL, not named Connor McDavid. It's pretty close between those two even. Okay, then you go to your third line. I'd say that's the line
that doesn't have that next level speed unless Jack Roslin comes in the lineup and he's very, very close to Kyle Connor breakneck speed. And he's played on that line tons of times. Is Matthew Perreault that fast? No, but he's quick. Is Brian Little that fast? No, but he's not slow. Joel Armia, probably the slowest of the three that's getting regular minutes, but not a bad skater and extremely strong on the cycle, very hard to take off the puck. And then you go to the fourth line and...
But they're not getting any attention. That third line is going to get no attention right in the matchup.
The top two lines, the Stastny line and the Scheifele line, where we can wear them down, why I think this goes five games, why I'm being bold enough to say, like, it could happen. I know it's crazy. We haven't won a playoff game. We haven't won a playoff series one game at a time, yada, yada. The Jets could sweep, and it could very well be because of that third line. Matthew Perreault, Joel Armia, and Brian Little, they're going to get the easiest matchup against the 5th, 6th, D often. And what they do with that, that can be the difference between it going 5 games, 4 games, or 7 games. And then, obviously, the 4th line, I mean, they're playing their best offense of the whole season of their career. All those guys, they've never been more confident. And Brandon Tanev is next level speed. So, 3 out of the 4 lines have guys. You have Kyle Connor, Nikolaj Ehlers, Brandon Tanev, and nobody can keep up with them. There's nobody on that team. Virgin's pretty quick if he actually comes back, but none of those D, they're not quick. They're not quick, man. That's the difference in them this year. That's the difference between the Jets and the Wild this year, is that speed, man.
Now, the balance of this, and I thought it was interesting because you brought up Toby Enstrom, and there's been talk about Toby Enstrom, and it's worth mentioning as far as the health of the Winnipeg Jets on the defense, because this is one of those Minnesota, and I joked at the trade deadline that Stewart got picked up off of waivers and ended up in Calgary of all places and then didn't see the ice. But I'm so happy that he was gone.
So was I. Stewart used to crunch the Jets all the time. He's a physical force out there for the Wild.
So it's expected that Jacob Trouba would be back. That puts him with Josh Morrissey. You love that. That has, at a moment, Dustin Byfuglien. And I would think if Toby doesn't come back, then Ben Chiarot would probably play with Dustin Byfuglien, or Joe Morrow plays with Dustin Byfuglien. And either way, that leaves Myers with Morrow, which in my opinion, as much as, because we haven't heard anything from Dmitry Kulikov, and I don't think we're going to hear anything about Dmitry Kulikov.
Not by the first round, no. I don't believe he's coming back before the first round is all set.
And Toby is at least shut down to the playoffs. This matchup with Minnesota, I like Morrow. I almost like Pullman as a sixth guy in the lineup, as opposed like Morrow or Pullman as a sixth guy, and going with Byfuglien, Chiarot, Morrissey, Myers, and Trouba. Because they're physical, they're bigger guys. And I think Joe Morrow's game's been... Actually, Joe Morrow, to me, gets a nod over Tucker Pullman just on experience level. That I would think that I would see Morrow with Myers, Chiarot with Byfuglien, and Morrissey and Trouba together. And I think physically, and as far as being able to be puck moving, that defense, even without Toby Enstrom, is going to physically be able to handle Minnesota and also basically jumpstart that offense.
Yeah, well, it all starts with the back end. It all starts with the breakout. It all starts about one-on-one battles, I think, on both ends of the ice, whether it's in the D zone or the offensive zone. I think you got a bunch of guys on the Jets' back end that have very big shots, even Morrow. I mean, since he's come over, he's let some fucking bombs go. Chiarot's going bar down sometimes. Sometimes he's going nasty slap pass. That happens. Pullman, to me, is the guy that's out. I like Pullman. You know, I've been pumping his tires all year about how I think he's going to be a real player in the league, but I think, like some of the other guys we've seen, he's got to wait his turn a little bit, and I think that's a great guy to have as your 7th, 8th defenseman to come in the lineup, 9th, whatever he is now.
You know, you might even option on bringing Toby Enstrom rather than putting Pullman in the event somebody got hurt.
All I want is, I don't want Enstrom coming back if he's hurt. If he's not 100%, and like the things we hear from Paul Maurice is about his pain threshold, that he's been dealing with stuff all season, and you know he wants to get in there game 1. He wants to come back for the playoffs, but we can't have a less than 100%, you know, Enstrom. You got to give him a shot. You know, I think Morrow and Chiarot and even Pullman have played well enough throughout the season to show that they're more than capable of handling that bottom pairing minutes, to give Enstrom a little break in case, you know, to give him a chance to get healthy. And, you know, I know you don't want to think too far ahead, but you think about, you know, especially the first couple of games, don't rush him back. If he's ready for game 3, game 4, fine. Even if not, maybe we wait and we don't see him till the second round, and then we get back, you know, Enstrom feeling good. And, you know, you got to think long term here. I don't think the Jets are only thinking about the first round. round. It is a step-by-step process. It is game-by-game and all that cliche shit. No reason to rush him back with the way they're playing right now. You talked about Roslovic being a huge X-factor. I don't think the Wild have those guys at all. Not that I heard of. No, honestly, like, obviously, we don't pay attention as much to their, you know, what their minor league team is doing and their prospects as much. But I've never heard any sort of murmuring about these, like, stellar guys that are waiting in the wings to jump up in case of injury to make a big impact. You know, all-star players in the AHL that are healthy scratches waiting to come in, leading scorers in the league ready to jump in. I don't see that as a Wild. I think the Wild, for them, it's crucial that they stay healthy. But the Jets are going to be throwing their weight around. Jacob Trouba back healthy, Adam Lowry, Tanev, those guys, Copper, pounding guys, you know, down low. How long? That and especially in how good the Jets are at home about getting those ozone changes, those line changes, and just wearing them down. Like, are they going to have any energy when they head back to mini? Like, if those first two games, if the Jets take the first two, that's going to be a big hill to climb for the Wild.
On that, I don't disagree. Worth noting, more so than the season series, in my opinion, is how a team is playing going into the playoffs. I think there's a lot more stock in the first round. After the first round, you can kind of toss out the numbers other than how the team played against the team they just played against. But it seemed to me last year that the teams that went into the playoffs hot continued in the first round to be really prepared and played well in that first round. And a team that kind of limped into the playoffs, that carried over into the playoffs. That seemed to me to be the trend last year that I really was, if I have to do an NHL bracket, which I'm not planning to do this year, the reason for that, I kind of get superstitious about doing playoff brackets when my heart is set on one team. Because I don't know how my heart wouldn't allow me to make a bracket and not put Winnipeg.
That's exactly why I did not do the last few years. I used to do hockey drafts my whole life.
Yeah.
I used to go out and do these fun fantasy drafts. I did it the entire time the Jets were gone. I did one every year. Something weird about it. The Jets come back. I did one hockey draft and I homered it so hard because I just wanted to pick Jets players because I watch them game in, game out, and I just didn't give a shit, you know? And that's how I feel now. I'm also superstitious. I fucking used to kiss my stick before I went out every game, step over the lines in baseball. There's a little bit of that in you when you grow up playing sports and you don't want to jinx anything, just like you don't say the word shutout when a shutout's on the line. There's just certain things you don't say. You don't want to be too cocky because you feel like you're going to fuck with the hockey gods or something. So I totally understand that. I have no intention of doing it. I'm sure a bunch of people will ask me about doing a playoff bracket. Just so you know, it ain't happening. I'm not doing it either.
And I'm so good at winning those things. Last year, I just had that feeling that Ottawa was going to do that run. And part of it was how they played near the end of the year. And the other part of that was factoring that they had a couple key guys that I knew were coming back to the lineup right before the playoffs started. And in an interesting way, it worked out. They kind of were that Cinderella team.
And similar to the Senators, Nashville Predators are a pretty hot team going into the playoffs last year. They had to fight to get into the playoffs, right?
And then knocked off a team that kind of...
Hey, well, here's hoping the Colorado Avalanche can do the same thing. Two said Predators. Yeah. Fuck Subban.
And you know what, actually? Fuck Predators. Well, you know what? I went back and forth on it, regardless of who the Nashville Predators play. Colorado's played well against Nashville this year. I wouldn't have had an issue with St. Louis getting in instead. I guess I should put that into perspective. I thought that St. Louis had more experience than Colorado, and that's why I like that. I also was putting my laptop with the St. Louis-Colorado game onto my TV because, of course, even though it was the game of the night, as far as playoffs were concerned, we're getting Calgary and Vegas, we're getting Edmonton and Vancouver in the second game on all this on Sportsnet. And so I just loaded up NHL Center Ice and got the Blues and Colorado live feed. And
watch a game that actually matters.
Yeah, watch a game that actually matters. But it had started while the Jets game was ending. By the time I got it on, Vladdy Tarasenko had gone out of the game. And that was it. The writing was on the wall. Colorado, like heart and soul, was trying to win this game. And St. Louis didn't have their offensive weapon. So if you ask me, would I want a St. Louis team without Vladdy Tarasenko to take on Nashville? No. I want Vladdy Tarasenko to be there. And Tarasenko would have been out like long term. So I'm all right with Colorado taking on Nashville. I think it won't physically beat them up, but I think it's going to stress them on the fact that Colorado is going to run and gun. And that just makes that series just...
Colorado has nothing to lose, man. Yeah. We're talking about a team that's bombed the last few years. The year they did make the the playoffs and actually finished first. They got booted in the first round. We're talking about a team that has not been good for a long time. They're hungry, they're young, and they just might not know any better that they're supposed to lose. You know, this is a thing that happens. I think the St. Louis Blues have a history of choking in the playoffs, and I think they wear that a bit. And without Tarasenko, good luck. That was a sweep heading the Predators' way. I know nobody's going to pick the Avalanche to win this series, but don't sleep on them. I've watched a few of their games. I watched the Avalanche play Vegas a couple weeks ago. They played really good. I like that, like, Tyler Jost. I like that fucking Tyson Barry. Kyle Connor's old teammate from Michigan, JT Comper. He's got wheels, crazy wheels. They have a very fast team, very free-flowing, kind of like Fire Wagon style. It's all or nothing. They do have a goalie, the Avalanche, who can get pretty hot at times. So if he's hot, and if their power play's clicking, I'm not saying they're going to knock off the Preds, but I think that, honestly, I mean, they're kind of that perfect sleeping dark horse kind of team that might. And then it's also, you got to look at it like, well, shit, if they can upset the Predators, you know, I like that matchup going into, I like that matchup in the next round. I like the Jets going up against Colorado. It'll be a good series. You know, I feel very confident in that series that the Jets can take the Avalanche. Now, I know the Predators are built very similarly to the Jets, so like, why would you say one over the other? I don't know. There's a bit, it's one of these weird things. I don't know if it was you that said it. Somebody said it. One of my buddies said it about how, you know, maybe it's a good thing that the Jets didn't finish first overall, because, you know, and with Toronto, like you said, being in the playoffs, it's hard for them to slide under the radar with the things they've done this year, with the guys putting up huge seasons that they have. But maybe just being a second seed, not that first seed. Nashville hasn't been in this position before. They're used to being the underdog going into a series. They're not used to having the weight of being the President's Trophy winner and being the first seed in the first round here. This is a new thing for them. So anything can happen. And hey, who knows? Injuries happen. Maybe, you know, somebody runs a guy through the ground and the Predators are reeling. You never know, but it could be an interesting first-round series. It might not go four games like a lot of people are going to pick, I think.
I think a lot of people are going to not take the Avalanche because Varlamov is out. So really, this is going to be up to Jonathan Bernier, who is the backup.
You know what? I didn't even know that. That's news. Yeah. Varlamov is out. When did he go out?
He's been out, and actually, that's part of the reason why the Avalanche have been like... That's why it went down to the wire. They were on a nice little roll with their team, and then he went down. I want to say.
Well, if that's the case, I take back everything I just said. There's a good chance. No, just kidding. Oh, goaltending's pretty huge, man. Is,
you know what? Bernier had a good game last night. I don't think he's the worst goalie in the world, but they would be better with Varlamov.
Of course, yeah.
Now, again, I'm not anticipating, or I haven't read much about Colorado and whether or not Varlamov would be back in time for a first-round matchup. As far as I know, they have to go with Bernier. They don't have a choice. That does factor in on it. However, you're right. They don't know any better. That is a young team, and the way they played against St. Louis and the style of game they play just is going to be a run-and-gun series. And they've got some players like Nathan MacKinnon. They've got Landeskog. They've got some guys who can – and Rantanen.
Yeah, Rantanen's having a great year.
Those guys can score. And so, yeah, if Nashville doesn't play a contained system, or, you know, they have an off night, you know, they let Colorado in, Colorado will take a run for it. And maybe Bernier – he's going to have to steal a game. That's the big question, is whether or not he can steal a game. I think Nashville's going to be hard-pressed to be upset by Colorado without Varlamov. However, Colorado, just of all the teams in the mix, to be quite honest with you, yeah, you're right. They just have nothing to lose. It's kind of like they're going to go for broke. So
I just think they're going to play free.
Yeah.
They're going to take their chances. If they get bit in the ass on a bad pinch and it goes in their net, I don't think they're shutting it down to play grinded out playoff hockey. I don't think they're going to go out and they're going to try to put pedal to the metal and see if they can outscore the Predators. And the Predators, D, they take chances. They're smart, really high hockey IQ, but that's the difference. They're, you know.
You know what? It's interesting. What we would expect from Winnipeg and Minnesota is probably going to be what most people would consider low playoff hockey. Like when we were talking about that 3-1 Toronto game that the Jets just played. When we're talking about, you know, 2-1 versus Calgary and shutting it down in the third period if you've got a lead. and playing very safe hockey. A Nashville-Colorado series is going to defy the logic of that, because I'm going to be very surprised if those aren't 6-5, 7-5, you know, if it's a tight game 4-3. Like, I expect there to be some goals scored and it to be a little more freewheeling, open hockey than one would normally expect, and I think that plays to the underdog.
Yeah, so we got, what would you put that series at, you think? Preds and what? I'm imagining you're going with the Preds in that series. So what do you think that series goes?
I almost want to say 6.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me too. I think the Avs are going to take 1 or 2 games. I think it's possible that goes 6 as well. I think the Preds do end up winning. I think the Jets take the Wild.
I do want to mention, before we go ahead to the other series, Minnesota is 4-2-4 in their last 10. So they've only lost 2 in their last 10, but 4...
Sort of.
Well, yeah, sort of, because 4 went to extra time.
Because you don't get points in the playoffs for losing in a shootout or losing in OT.
They're going to try and play it tight. They've got their challenges ahead of them. These wins, they played 2 against Dallas, kind of knocked Dallas out. They went 1-1 in the last 2 games with Dallas. They did beat San Jose the other night. One of those wins was against Edmonton. The losses were against Kings in overtime, Anaheim, Nashville in a shootout, Boston in overtime. In the last 10, they did beat Nashville 4-1. Winnipeg, their only loss was again that game against Chicago. Now, on the other side of the bracket, Vegas, winning the Pacific, gets the pleasure of taking on the LA Kings. That's where, if you're taking a sleeper, and I know everybody's going to say, well, nobody wants to bet against Vegas, almost because Vegas has defied all the odds and nobody knows what's going on with them because it's their first playoffs. Like, you have no track record on it. I say to everybody right here, I would take the LA Kings in a heartbeat. Honestly, it could be a sweep. The reason I say that is Vegas has crawled into the playoffs this year. 5-3-2 in their last 10. They've lost 2 in a row, including their final game of the regular season, getting walloped by the Calgary Flames 7-1. That's not how you want to go into the playoffs. Now, in addition to that, they lost to Edmonton in the other game. Non-playoff teams. So they had such a big lead and had their division ramped up, ready to go. And now they're taking an LA team that had to battle to get in and were kept trying to get into that third
spot.
That
being said, that Vegas crowd has got to be jacked and pumped. I've heard nothing but good things out there. They're excited for their team one of two ways. You know, they could be overhyped and make some mental errors, and then the LA Kings are the perfect team to capitalize on that with a history of winning and have guys with cups on their team. And they have their core intact from those cup teams. You know, Kopitar is a very outside dark horse MVP guy that people talk about, and obviously Drew Doughty on the back end and Jonathan Quick. Those are the guys. And then they have a good core around them.
Jeff Carter.
Very solid. Yeah,
Dion
Phaneuf. And they play two different styles. So that's a very, you know, we talk about the fight game, the UFC card just passed. So they always talk about, styles make fights. And when it comes to this, you're talking about a very fast skill team in Vegas and a team that they have skill, don't get me wrong, but very much, you know, punch you in the throat, defense, kick you when you're down. And
defense first.
Know how to win.
Playoff hockey with cup winners. 6-2-2 in their last 10. I like the Kings. I like the Kings because they got the experience.
I'll call for that one. I'm calling 5, man. I'm calling 5 for the Kings, I think. I think Vegas steals 1 at home on home ice. And the Kings, like you said, I think the Kings win that series.
And I think, you know what, I almost say it, like I said, I can almost see it being a sweep. Now, Vegas against Colorado, I'd take Vegas. And I probably would have liked Vegas against Anaheim.
I agree. Talk to the Chicago Blackhawks. That's what it's like to face the Kings when they're an 8 seed or a lower seed, right?
Yeah, 7 seed going into the playoffs here against Vegas. I like LA in this. And then you got Anaheim, San Jose. Probably goes 7. Flip a coin. Who's going to win that? They practically are mirror images as far as their wins, losses, and the way they finish the season. Anaheim did sneak a point in front of San Jose to get home ice in that. Might be the difference. It's an interesting
series. That to me is a toss-up series too. Yeah. I don't know who wins that. Somebody wins it in 6, I think.
I would like San Jose if they still had Marlowe better. And I really am not a fan of either of those teams. But based on where they are, they get the pleasure of playing the LA Kings probably in round 2. Which really means a 7 seed could be sitting and waiting competing for the conference final. Or maybe Winnipeg gets their due back on, so say LA gets knocked out by Anaheim or San Jose in round two, whoever advances. That means the Jets could maybe exercise their Ducks.
You'll never, in my life, I will never cheer for the Ducks in any series. I will be hoping that the San Jose Sharks win. It's not because I like the Sharks. I like them less because they have Evander Kane now, so that makes it tougher.
Oh, I never even thought of that.
Yeah, that's why I would prefer them to lose. But it's like, well, who do I hate more? It's not who do you like more? It's who do you hate more? I don't like Kane. I don't want him to win. If for some reason they magically can make it to the finals and the Jets could play them and then beat Kane, there would be something great about that. Exercising the demons against the Ducks would be great. I don't think either one of those teams beat the Kings, so I don't think that's even going to happen. It's kind of like the Who Cares series. I hope they beat the shit out of each other in that series, and whoever it is, same deal with the Kings. Oh, the Ducks are a rough and tumble team. It probably is a little better. If the Ducks and the Kings play, that's going to be a rough series. Yeah, maybe LA gets through Vegas in four or five games. They're probably not getting through the Ducks, and even if they do get through them in a sweep, which I don't think would happen, I think that probably goes six again. That's getting ahead of ourselves, but if that does happen, I think they limp in to the finals, and maybe we're on an even platform with the Jets, what they'll have to go through, not only against the Wild, but most likely against Nashville Predators, which really should be the conference finals, but whatever the case may be. So, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out, but...
Have to see how it shakes out. And again, Winnipeg, and we're not overlooking Minnesota. Respect to Minnesota. They always seem to play Winnipeg tough. This year, Winnipeg did have the one game where they lit up the Wild. We'll say that Suter played all four games and he's not there. And if the Jets can play with speed and get on that defense, they should be able to get up and contain the threats of the Minnesota Wild. Because when you look at the threats of the Minnesota Wild, the speed is where they become less of a threat. Because the twilight of Mikko Koivu's career is right now. The twilight of Zach Parise's career is right now. And as good as Eric Staal has been this season, again, in the twilight of his career. And if the Jets can get in on their defense and get those guys contained in their zone, they should be able to get up in games and wear down what is a very veteran-laden up front lineup for Minnesota, but also a less experienced D that could use a couple of their star players back there. And that's a difference in the series. And Dubnyk has been above average, but not the way he was lights out a couple of years ago where you could expect him to steal games. That's why I think Winnipeg wins in five.
Yeah, I think that game one we talked about, there, that game one's critical then. I think
that first win under the belt.
I think goal number one at MTS Place is huge. I think game one's massive. You win that game, you get momentum, you know, monkey off the back for the Jets team. Because even though it's weird, because this is a way drastically different team. We're going to run through the lineup. The last Jets team to make the playoffs look way different than the team we currently have here. People always want to talk about like past records and all that, but this is a different team, a different sort of attitude, a little bit of a definite swagger that this team has. They believe in themselves, and they have a reason to do that. Minnesota is a veteran-laden lineup. They do have playoff experience. They will be tough and grind you down and all that kind of shit. Minnesota fans, man, I've been to a game in Minnie, and that house is rocking. They're going to be bringing it. It's always tough to win on the road, but I think the Jets are more than capable. They've shown it throughout the year. Even if they lose game three, the first game in Minnie, they have the ability to bounce back. They've been doing it all year. They lose a tough one, they come out firing again. They're going to give the Wild all they can handle. Not saying it's an easy series, but to me, it's just on every, whether you're breaking down goalie, D, forwards, special teams, all the way down, depth, players that are waiting in the wings that are healthy scratches, the Jets are ahead of them on paper in every single category, but the games are played on the ice. It's not on paper. But speaking of paper, I can see that Tim here's getting the roster up from the last playoffs.
8 to 10 of the current Jet roster was in the four-game series back in 2014-2015 when they got swept by the Ducks. That's the total number of the guys remaining. Enough to remember there. And why say 8 or 10? Because you could, if you're going to count in that, if you're going to count it up to 10, then you're assuming that Toby Enstrom's going to be back for this playoffs. Still on the roster, so you could say that. The other antidote of that is that Ben Chiarot played two of the four games. So he swapped out with a gentleman, if you'll remember, by the name of Adam Party, played two of the other four.
The Party Spinnerama.
Yeah, so that's worth noting. So of the for sure eight, Little, Lowry, Trouba, Perreault, Wheeler, Tyler Myers, Dustin Byfuglien, Mark Scheifele. And as I said, you can add Toby Enstrom and Ben Chiarot, although Ben Chiarot played half of this series back then, and the growth in his game in this season.
The growth of every single player you just mentioned, where they're at now, where they were at then.
Now, would you trade our current defense core to have Adam Party, Mark Stewart in the lineup instead on the back end?
Yeah, and that's where the big difference is. Right? The bottom pairing is a huge difference between you, like as opposed to years past.
Now, Drew Stafford was here, along with Lee Stepniak. They've both been gone. Andrew Ladd would be here under this team that went into the playoffs last time. Michael Frolik, not gonna throw Michael Frolik under the bus. He's still playing in the National Hockey League.
So the four players you just mentioned, you mentioned Andrew Ladd.
Yeah.
And you had Stepniak.
And Stafford.
Stafford.
Yeah, which I would kind of...
So those...
Would have been one through three, somewhere in 1-3. Like so Ladd would have been playing top line or second line.
The current lineup, you're replacing those four players with Paul Stastny, Nikolaj Ehlers, Patrick Laine, and Kyle Connor. So three out of our four top scorers were not in that series against the Ducks. A highly contested sweep where the Jets were up for the majority of that series.
Yeah.
That being said, they got swept. You know, I mean, no disrespect. I liked all those players you mentioned. They were good Jets. Ladd was the captain. He had many great years, but he was never a top six player. I know he scored 30 in a couple seasons. He had some very good seasons. Don't get me wrong. Love Andrew Ladd. Stepniak, Toulouse, when they came over, they played pretty well.
Sum it up this way.
Okay. Pretty well, but...
And Andrew Ladd or Patrick Laine?
Laine.
Okay. Now, Michael Frolik or Kyle Connor?
Kyle Connor.
Okay. Nikolaj Ehlers or Drew Stafford?
Nikolaj Ehlers.
Okay. And the last guy was Lee Stepniak or Paul Stastny?
Paul fucking Stastny.
Okay. Now, no love line, because I want to do this. I did list Lowry on this list. Now, keep in mind the depth of this Winnipeg Jets team in 2014-15. Adam Lowry is still the third line center. He is now the fourth line center. Okay? So, and I did not give you these last guys that were the fourth liners, but...
Stonehand Thorburn.
Yeah. Jim Slater.
Jim Slater.
Yuri Tulewski.
Tulewski.
Yeah.
That was our fourth line.
Yeah, that was the fourth line. And Matt Halaschuk actually got in for a game in some role in there, which is interesting because somebody else must have been hurt up front. Yeah, Perreault only played three. Okay, so Halaschuk had to go in, meaning in one of those games, I guess Tulewski would have played third line and not fourth line in that series. Meaning Halaschuk, Thorburn, and Slater would have played one of the four games as the fourth line. So, would you take Tanev over Slater?
Yes.
100%. And just think of it, like, end of this year and end of 2014-15, those guys were, you know, comparing seasons, who would you put in the lineup? Are you keeping Lowry in, or are you going to go with, I guess in this case, it'd be Tulewski. It's a no-brainer. You're keeping Lowry in the lineup. Even in 2014-15, Lowry was higher in the lineup, right?
Right. And now he's on the fourth line shut down.
Yeah. And Andrew Copp or Chris Thorburn? Well, we can answer that question.
That's insane. That right there. I mean, when you're going Andrew Copp or fucking Stonehand Thorburn?
You answer that question because Thorburn is now in St. Louis on a team that didn't make the playoffs. And Andrew Copp is with our team.
And just a way more offensively gifted player. And Tanev, his like next level speed and his hitting and his shot blocking and all those intangibles. Yeah. Like you said, like Lowry was on the third line there. He's on the fourth line on this team. I'd throw this fourth line on that third line probably and redo that playoffs. And then, throw in the health of Matty Perreault. You know, he's had his issues over the years. You're going to take Matty Perreault or you're going to take Halaschuk? I mean, that's a slam dunk. That's no question whether... Or Tulewski. Tulewski, Halaschuk versus Matty Perreault. That wasn't an option. Matty Perreault went out, you said. He got injured, but like...
Well, he played three or four.
We got all those guys now. Matty Perreault now is playing on the third line. So there's no comparison. I mean, no disrespect to that team. They were a gritty, hardworking team, and we were proud of them, and they fought hard to make the playoffs, and they gave that Ducks team, that stacked Ducks team, a run for their money. But on paper, you know, the Ducks had the experience, they had the cups behind them, and they just had the talent. And now the Jets, they've increased their depth, they've increased their talent, and all those guys that were there the last time around are way better players now. They're all having career seasons, and then you're not even talking about, you know,
our top three scorers that weren't a part of that with Laine, Ehlers, and Connor.
I think that's a big difference on it. If the younger guys that we're talking about on this team are our top three scorers, as you mentioned, didn't play in this series. Difference makers, for sure. And the leadership now is really Blake Wheeler's. At this series, it would have been Andrew Ladd's.
Right. This is before Wheeler was the captain and took reins and became the player he is now.
Yeah. And so that is definitely the case. You don't have, you know, Josh Morrissey on this lineup.
You have a softer Mark Scheifele. You don't have this extremely strong, dominant guy who had a point-per-game season last year and would have done the same this year if he could have stayed healthy. Mark Scheifele was on the second line. Brian Little was our number one center. Brian Little was our number one center, and now he's on the third line. So that right there, I mean, that's huge.
By the way.
And we're not pointing out the biggest, most important one of all.
All the goalies.
Who was our goalie? Andre Pavlik, and right now we have Connor Hellebuyck. Connor Vezina Hellebuyck.
Sorry, I forgot about that.
Just a little important.
15 goals against in the four losses. Goals against average. Do you want to hear Pavlik's goals against average in 2014?
Not really, but just do it. Yeah, it's gross. Bad fucking memories are going to come back. All right.
3.73 goals against average in the four games. Under 9 save percentage. Andre Pavlik was never an all-star.
Oh, also the backup of that series. Michael Hutchinson, right?
Yeah, but he never played a minute, so.
Yeah, no, but he's the backup. So in case of an injury to Pavlik with his stellar numbers there, they had Hutchinson backing him up. And right now, we got Steve Mason, who's been a starter his entire career, and he's the backup. He's the insurance clause if anything happens to Hellebuyck. And I don't know about you, but Hutchinson then versus Mason now, regardless of his injuries and a couple of games that didn't go right, went sideways, I feel way more confident if he has to battle through. Similar to the Pittsburgh Penguins last year, they lost Marc-Andre Fleury, and Murray stepped up and was the man, right?
Actually, Matt Murray started. If people forget about this. Matt Murray started and was the starter.
Right. Then he got injured. Then Fleury took over. Yeah, and then he came back. Murray came back.
Yeah. So game three of the first round. And then Fleury finished off the first round. Won the Penguins the second round. And then Matt Murray came back, I believe, in game one or two of the third round. And then carried them through.
Marc-Andre Fleury stole a couple games there, though. He played unbelievable for them. And that's the one guy we didn't really talk about when it comes to that series of, you know, will they get swept? Do we think they'll probably lose the Kings? Probably, but Marc-Andre Fleury has a track record. He's got Stanley Cup rings. So even to float back to that series real quick, I mean, Vegas does have that about them, right? So they do have James Neal with the cup ring. So they're not completely fucking brand new and doe-eyed and shit.
I generally have a high opinion of Marc-Andre Fleury. I also have an appreciation for the pieces that he had around him in Pittsburgh. And his value is undeniable. I like Vegas a lot more against every team but LA. And Jonathan Quick is going to give LA the goaltending to battle Vegas. Their style of play defensively, when we saw them, they keep a low-scoring game. They know how to shut teams down and do it within the rules and wear teams down. So, Vegas has their speed. If they can speed their way through, get leads, get LA behind, they can win.
The home crowd in the first two games behind them, pumping and loud, and they get score a few power play goals. Anything can happen. They got Carlson having a career year, 40-plus goals. Yeah, it's only during the regular season. He's never put numbers up. That'll be the test. James Neal is Mr. Clutch. He's a pretty clutch scorer. So I wouldn't, like, they have some guys on their team. They have some X-Factors. I'd say Vegas has more X-Factors than the Minnesota Wild do against the Jets.
Yeah.
Just saying. And I wouldn't put the Kings in the same category, even though they have all that depth and all that experience and of guys with cup rings themselves. You know, they don't have the dynamic players that the Jets do to play against either. So, I mean, I don't know. That series is a wash. But, like, I'm not sold, man. I'm not sold Vegas is one and done, but I wouldn't be completely surprised. I'll give you that. I do think the Kings, but people are going to say the same thing to an extent about the Wild. Granted, they don't have the cups, but they're going to talk about playoff experience. That's going to be part of the fucking narrative that the Jets don't have any. Right? The Jets do not have nearly the same playoff experience. All the guys you just mentioned that's returning, the core players, the Lowrys and Scheifele and Wheels, all those guys, they have four games a couple years back, right? And they don't have a whole ton of games behind them. The Wild have a lot of playoff experience, but Do I think that means jack shit? Not really.
Well, that's fair. I think it's a fair question.
And you could actually say maybe Vegas, to some extent, could be like the Colorado Avalanche in that maybe they just don't know any better. It's two trains of thought, because it's kind of like with, when it comes to Vegas, are they happy just to make it to the dance? I mean, their first year to have as good of a season as they have had, are they already satisfied? What is their desire to win more? Of course they want to win the cup. Every team in wants to win it, but do they believe in themselves? Do they believe they can beat the LA Kings? Do they feel pressure from being a higher seed? Do they feel comfortable that they're they have home ice? If they lose the first game, can they rebound, or do they get swept, like you said? Do they have the ability to bounce back from game one? Say Vegas is like Winnipeg. They need that confidence from winning game one. If they lose game one, yeah, that's what I'm sliding over with you for that sweeper five games.
Okay, so they played a home-and-home, LA and Vegas, February 26th, 27th. LA won 3-2 in overtime in LA, and then proceeded to win 4-1 in Vegas. That's the last two times those teams met in the regular season this year. If I look back, in December, Vegas did beat LA in overtime, 3-2 in LA. There is one more meeting here for sure. Yes. And November 19th, they actually did beat LA 4-2 at home. So I guess you would say that they are 2-2. Oh, they played five times.
The great thing thing about playoffs is it's a brand new season, right? You can shake off, and that goes for the Wild too. I mean, they didn't play well against the Jets. If they hold on to that regular season, it's gonna be a quick playoff exit for them. They have to shake that all off. They have to shake off the fact that they have that Suter's gone. It is what it is. They have to play with the players that they have. For the Wild and the Jets. The Jets have to go in there on the first game on Wednesday, and they got to show them who the biggest, baddest fucking bully in the playground is. You know, with all these teams, game one's a crucial one, man. I don't know the stats. I'm sure there's some fucking stats out there that shows the percentage of game one, who wins that game usually wins the series. It's a very important game, so Jets need to get off on the right foot. I don't really give a shit about these other series. We're talking about them. I don't care. I don't care who wins. Not even a little bit. I like the kind of fucking storyline about beating the Anaheim Ducks in the final. That would feel pretty good. Kane, I don't think the Sharks even have a chance, but I would enjoy that. And I don't want to play the Predators. I would love the Avalanche to knock them off. What do I think? I think the Predators are going to beat the Avalanche. Even though I said all that stuff about Firewagon, Predators are too good. I don't see it happening. And I think the series is going to be the series of the entire Western Conference is going to be Winnipeg versus Nashville. And I would way rather not play them, but at the same time, man, is that going to be some good hockey.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and it was, I want to say podcast before I'd even moved to the new place. So back, you know, when we were doing it at the old roomies, you basically said, and I don't know how it came up in conversation. It must have come up in conversation about where we finish and the importance of home ice. And you just basically said at one point, you're like, no team scares me to be playing the Winnipeg Jets. And you look at this. I'm not worried about Vegas if Vegas got through. I'm a keen guy on looking at matchups and seeing how matchups either play towards a team or play against a team. I said long before second and third were in lock that I actually liked the matchup with Minnesota in round one. I thought it was good, you know, and I would have taken St. Louis in that spot too. Dallas was the other team I said when they were still in the mix at the time. I said I liked that two spot in that round because I thought it took all the X factors of the San Jose, Anaheim's, LA's out of the equation. Not that the Jets can't beat any of those teams. I just personally thought that, as much as I wanted to say it, at the time, what I thought that the Jets maybe had less of was the physicality that was going to be required. That was before the All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, Dustin Byfuglien and Ben Sherrod, and when Adam Lowry came back and Tanev came back, and Andrew fucking Kopp showed up, and Patrick Laine.
Remember that fucking hit Andrew Kopp laid? He knocked that dude out?
That guy has not played a game
he's
since.
He's not. Who was it again? He rocked him. I can't remember who it was, but and it was a clean hit, man.
Yeah.
Shoulder to the chest. Nothing wrong with that. And he drilled him. And you're right. Like, Andrew Kopp is that extra guy. Because we already knew Tanev loved to hit. He's the Tasmanian Devil. We know Adam Lowry. But it's like, Kopp is kind of that, like, he's kind of that Swiss Army knife. He can play anything. Is he a center? Is he a winger? Is he a hitter? Is he a finesse player? Armia's physical. He's strong. You know, Jacob Trouba loves to thump dudes. He just picked the wrong guy in Jamie Benn recently that didn't go well. I guarantee next time he's going to lower his center of gravity and bend with his legs and drive through on his hit. He's a big hitter.
Was it Yarncroc? I think it was Yarncroc.
Yarncroc for the Preds?
Yeah.
He
might be right.
Because Yarncroc was out, and I don't think he's returned.
You know, I don't know, but I all I know is Copper's had some huge hits, and then but you just look up and down. I mean,
Laine finished the check.
Laine is becoming pretty physical. He's throwing his 6'5" around, and Wheeler not afraid to smash people. Shifley laying out some big hits lately. You know, like you just said, Armia on that line with Little and Perreault. Perreault's tenacious. No, he's not going to rock dudes, but they're tenacious on the puck. He and Brian Little good at picking pockets, but. Yeah, then you roll that fourth line. That fourth line drills everybody. Now that Liney's playing a little bit meaner, I mean, they don't have every line is willing to finish their hits. Every line can play pretty physical, speed and skill. Morrissey finishes checks. And Josh Morrissey, for a guy who's not very big, man, he can lay guys out sometimes. They don't shy away from those physical teams. I think in years past, like you said, even back in the day, a couple of years ago when we ran into the Ducks team, and yeah, we had a good end to the season. Pavlik played his best, so that had people being hopeful. Even some people at the time actually projected or guessed that the Jets might be the team to pick to upset the Ducks in that series. I think it was kind of wishful thinking. I think if the stars had aligned properly and everything went well, then the Jets win that series. Obviously, it was way closer than most sweeps, and they were in those games. But it was like trying to climb the hill. It was David versus Goliath, and the Jets were David, you know, and now the Jets are kind of Goliath. It's a new thing to deal with, you know, Hunter versus Hunted. You know, Minnesota gets to go in with a little bit less pressure, having their number one defenseman out of the lineup, not nearly the same kind of superstars as the Jets. There's pressure, but there's less pressure. I think there is some pressure on the Jets, but I think the guys that are on this team, they embrace that. I think the leadership core guys that they have, I think Paul Maurice is great at managing that. I just think this Jets team is prepared. I think this is the best, well, it's obviously the best team we've ever had. But any series, I stick by what I said, you know, months ago. I think I go into any series and I go, there was a time we'd play teams, we'd go in and we'd be intimidated against the Hawks. We'd go into LA, we'd be intimidated playing the Kings. Especially because, like you said, they're that rough and tumble. They're one of those teams. I'm glad we're not playing in the first round, just like you. I'm glad we're not playing the Ducks in the first round. It's not that we can't play with them. I just don't like what that could do to our health. For me, that first round is, you know, you don't have to sweep, but play hard every game. You know, if you get behind the eight ball, a couple goals, you battle back. You know, don't be loose with turnovers and get through that series. Stay healthy. Be playing your best hockey. And there's nobody, even the Nashville Predators, who are deservedly so. You know, props to them. They won the division. They won the President's Trophy. But that's just cute stuff. That's cute. It's over now. That's nice. That's nice they won that. It doesn't mean anything. You know who won a lot of President's Trophies? The San Jose Sharks. And they always got knocked off in the first round or second round. Washington Capitals. Those teams are, to me, two of the teams year in and year out for years. This is going to be their year. Well, guess what? It's not. And it
even
wasn't
back in the day, Detroit won like how many President's Trophies, and they got like one or two cups to show for it?
It's the thing. I mean, it's a different animal in the playoffs.
They're the last ones, by the way, to win the President's Trophy and actually win the cup.
Yeah, it's almost like this weird sort of hockey jinx or something to win the President's Trophy. I don't know what it is. It feels like that. Eh? It's been a long time. So Predators got to deal with that too. So Jets can slide in number two. Yeah, they're Goliath in this series, but there's no team on either side, whether it's West or East, that I feel the Jets go in feeling intimidated by, and that's important. Mindset more than anything else, your belief in yourself that you expect to win. I think the Jets expect to win. I think they're excited for the opportunity. They're not scared of the moment. I think these are guys that are going to embrace the moment. They're excited. I mean, they expect to. Look at how angry Laine's been lately. You got a hungry, angry Laine. He's not happy that he didn't win the Rocket. I know it's an individual reward, but it annoys him. You watched him the last few games. When he fucking misses the net or doesn't score, he goes off the ice and he's pissed. He's slamming his stick. I don't think it's like a juvenile immature thing. He's just really intense. And they have a ton of guys like that. It's great. He's playing on with Stastny. If he has a bad shift or he has a bad turnover that turns into a goal for the Jets, I love that Paul Stastny is playing on that line with them. Sit down on the bench. Give him a couple encouraging words. Maurice will throw him right back out there. That's not like he's going to get taken off the power play. He knows he's an important part of this team. It's all of the guys. If one of them isn't going, if that line can't get going, if Stastny, Ehlers, and Laine have a rough first series, that's okay. That's okay. You got Kyle Connor and fucking Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele to lead the way. We said that, you know, it could be the X factor that third line, who knows? Fourth line has been the best line for weeks now. Like, they've been consistently game in and game out, dominating teams down low, putting pucks in the back of the net. So every line, I think what they do for each other is you have a bad shift, you make a mistake, it ends up in the back of your net, you fall behind. The Jets have done that. They fall behind at the start of games. They take a penalty, fucking bench minor central. Things happen, right? And the Jets find a way. A call doesn't go their way. You know what? All these calls that haven't gone the Jets' way, all these challenges that haven't gone their way that have been frustrating fans, they're lessons learned. They're obstacles in the path. It's us against them. It's me against, you know, against the world. Feeling like, you know, they're not getting a fair shake, and that's okay. I think that makes them more playoff ready. It doesn't matter what it says on the back of their hockey card, how many playoff games. I think the Jets have the team. They're ready to go. I think Wednesday. Oh my God. I wish it was Wednesday already. I wish I could have a button. I could just press the button and it'd be Wednesday. I'm a little jacked now just thinking about it. I'm getting chills.
I'm pretty jacked up about it too. You put it in perspective when just some final thoughts here, and then we'll be back as the series goes into, you know, this, well, as it's finishing out, I guess, based on the timeline of these games and when we're able to get back together again. But a 52 win season, only 20 losses, 10 overtime shootout losses, Winnipeg Jets free and clear were the second best team in the National Hockey League this year. That's a fact. The depth of this team, and regardless, there is a guy in the room with the Stanley Cup, Dustin Byfuglien, 1-1 in Chicago. There are guys like Paul Stastny who have played a lot of years against a Minnesota Wild team. There are guys with playoff experience in that room. But the X factors and the guys that have, after the drivers of the Blake Wheelers, is all the young guys. And they're only young once. They are getting playoff experience at an optimum time while they're young. Because in a few years, they're going to have to be the guys that are carrying the team. So yeah, Scheifele's only got 4 games under his belt. But he would have learned a lot. And they've got a goalie that's going to play his first playoff game. But they've also got a guy that's all-star, getting talked about, Vezina nomination, goaltender. Because it's one game at a time. You got to win 16, and you got to win 4 out of 7 each round.
I'm telling you, man, Blake Wheeler, Brian Little, Dustin Byfuglien, like the guys have been, Matthew Perreault, who've never been able to get over the hump outside of Byfuglien. Obviously, he won the cup. But even then, when you look at that, I mean, he was a bit of a role player. He was an important piece of the puzzle. He's playing forward back then. He won a cup as a forward, not a defenseman. They've went through a lot of lean years here. You know, talks of complete, you know, just stripping down the entire team at one point in time. And now you look at them, and this is, they're not taking anything for granted. You know, the young guys are going to go there. They don't know any better. First time, guns a-blazing. You're going to have to be fighting that adrenaline. I'm sure the veterans will too. But those guys are going to, I think those guys, Brian Little's going to score a big goal. You know, you said earlier, Matthew Perreault, it's going to score a big goal, get a dirty goal for us. That's important, I feel like. Maybe a Joel Armia, those guys come out of the woodwork. Look at that fourth line right now.
I'm like, would basically put it to you this way. In this series, and I can't even right now fathom it, because Copp started to get more goals lately, and then Tanev had that one game where he gets the hat trick and practically beats the Boston Bruins by himself. Actually, he would have, if not for the penalties. And then that's why I was saying to you, Matty Perreault, who did get off the schneid before the end of the year, but he had gone the longest for a while. And it's just kind of like, who's the least guy that you would expect? Because you'd expect it to be Connor, Scheifele, or Laine or Ehlers, guys that have led the team in scoring all year. And who's the guy that you would actually, at this point, just throw this out there as a final thought. Guy leading the Jets in goals after the Minnesota series, I'm picking Adam Lowry today, because it's the most unlikely, but everything about the Jets this year is that's how this thing works.
Well, I'll let you be the prognosticator with that. Adam Lowry, fuck, that'd be pretty sweet if he was leading the team. I mean, that's in goals. I'm thinking that's a sweeper of 5-game series. If Adam Lowry's leading you in goals, you're winning 4-4 or 4-5. What I'm gonna say is, I don't think it's that big of a leap. I think Patrick Laine, I'm gonna call it now, he's gonna get a hat trick in his first playoff series. I'm gonna call it right now. He'll get a hat trick in the first playoff series. What game? I don't know. That and Jets winning, beating the Wild.
Yeah, and I think we both agreed. We think generously, and just in case anybody's listening in Minnesota, we'll give you one of the home games. So we're pretty much thinking that it's a 5-game max, and we're kind of thinking it's probably 4. But
nothing personal. We got a whole long road ahead of us, and you're in the Minnesota Wild are just a stepping stone, in my opinion.
Yeah. You still got to win.
Just a bad Bad luck of the draw that the Wild got the Jets in the first round. Anyways, I guess that pretty much does it.
Yeah, first class podcast. Warren Smith, Tim Bidwell, enjoy.
Enjoy, have a blast, cheer loud, be proud. Go Jets, go.
Go Jets, go.